build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations, and the Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's just pray for a minute. Father, we thank you so much that you are the God of hope, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles and us today. Father, as a result of this message, will you please pour out your Holy Spirit and fill us up with the peace and joy that you want us to have. Help us to live our lives in victory because of the hope we have in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wanted to read the first part because I want you to understand that it's basically two key points being made in verses 1 to 12. First, that we should live in a way that builds each other up and puts others before ourselves. We are to accept others in the same way that Christ has accepted us. And second, the Christian message of hope is not just for the Jews, it's for the Gentiles too. Which leads us to Romans chapter 15, verse 13, which is the screensaver on my phone. And it's interesting, I've had that screensaver on my phone for a while. And what happened was, one morning I woke up and I did my devotions and I had some extra time. And I thought, I'm going to see what sermons are out there on my phone. So I used some AI and it got me thinking about this verse, thinking, I need to create a new message on this. Because I think this verse is so powerful when you understand what Paul was trying to say to the Gentiles. Let's read it again. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now to understand this verse, you've got to break the Greek down. And that's what I'm going to try to do today, is focus on the key words in this passage. The first one is the Greek word translated may. Interesting enough, when I did the research on that, I found out that it is almost never translated may in the entire Bible. It's usually translated but, and, now, or the word then. In this context, the word, in my opinion, would be better translated now rather than may. In the New King James Version, I think they actually do a good job. It translates it, now may. And I like it that way. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal to me is the context. I think Paul, like if you just use the word may, it sounds like Paul is kind of making a wish, or just kind of hoping that it happens, or a prayer. But what Paul, I think, is saying here is, now that you understand that this message of hope is for the Gentiles too, you as Romans and us today now should have that hope. We now may the God of hope fill us with all peace and joy as we trust in him. We are part of that group. We are the Gentiles today. And because of the hope that Christ has provided, we too should be filled up with the joy and peace that our God of hope provides. The second section I want to look at is the God of hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. This hope is looking forward to the future. We have the hope of eternal life because of what Christ did for us. He died and took our sins so that we can live eternally with God. This is our hope. We live on this earth anticipating that we will live forever in the presence of God. These verses talk about the hope that we have. Titus 1:2 says, "A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time." Titus 3:7 says, "So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." And then I came across these two quotes that I really liked pertaining to this hope that we have. Gilbert M. Beacon says, "Other men see only a hopeless end, but the Christian rejoices in an endless hope." And R.C. Sproul says, "Hope is called the anchor of the soul because it gives stability to the Christian life. But hope is not simply a wish. Rather, it is that which latches onto the certainty of the promises of the future that God has made." So if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you should have this hope. BlueLetterBible.com describes this word hope as the joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Now that hope is super important. I think I might have used this illustration years ago up here, so if I have, I apologize, but it really makes the point for me. We need hope. It is crucial for us to live out that hope in our lives. In 1952, American long-distance swimmer Florence Chadwick attempted to swim the 26 miles from Catalina Island to the California coast. The water was freezing, and a heavy fog bank rolled in, making it impossible for her to see not just her escort boats, but her destination. After 15 hours and 55 minutes, chilled to the bone and completely disoriented by the fog and discouraged, she asked to be pulled from the water. She had stopped just 1 mile out of the 26 away from her destination. She later famously said, "Look, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have seen land, I could have made it." 2 months later, Chadwick attempted to swim again, and although another thick fog rolled in, she successfully completed that journey, even 2 hours faster than the fastest man. The difference? She said she kept the picture of her destination in her mind. We need to keep that picture of our eternal destination in our hearts and in our minds. Our hope is anchored in that destination. We will go through times of huge waves. We will go through times of great storms and dense fog. But with the vision of eternal life, with God in our hearts and in our minds, knowing that Christ is by our side, we can persevere and even be conquerors if we learn to trust in Him. We can live with hope and therefore experience peace and joy that is not dependent on the things on this earth. The next word is, "Now the God of hope fill you." That Greek word for fill literally means to make full, to fill it right up to the brim, so that there's nothing lacking at all. This is significant. The hope that God brings us should fill us right up to the brim with joy and peace. When I got to this part, that's where I realized I had a problem. And that's what has led to this message today. You see, I find myself lacking that joy and peace that God has said that I should have if I have this hope. I do have the hope in Christ. I believe that I will spend eternity with God. But there are many days that I don't feel the joy and peace that God wants me to have. The reason? I think I have a leaky life. I think my life is leaking. You see, when Paul is talking about that word, fill, he's talking about taking God filling us right up to the brim with joy and peace so that it would actually start to overflow and spill out to others. The problem I realize I have is I've got a leaky life. And so when I am trying to live out a life of joy and peace, it's missing. It's not there. So then I had to start thinking to myself, why? Why do I not have that joy and peace? Where is my life leaking? And interesting enough, I found the answers in the exact same verse. The first thing is, now the God of hope fill you with all joy. The word joy is the same word here that the angel used in Luke chapter 2:10 when announcing the birth of Jesus. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And it is the same word that Jesus used when talking about the parable of the treasure in Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. And it's the same word used to describe the joy that the two Marys experienced in Matthew 28:8 when they were told that Jesus had risen. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. That's the joy that we should be able to experience in our lives. But the key here is it's the joy that comes from what God has done already. He sent Jesus. He has given us eternal life. He has risen Jesus from the dead so that we too can have that hope. 1 Peter 1:8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And yet, to be honest, when I examine why I don't have that joy all the time, I realize it's because I rely way too much on the world for my happiness and for my joy. My circumstances often determine how I feel. When I take my eyes off God, when I take my eyes off my hope in Christ, when I take my eyes off my eternal destination, my life starts leaking the joy that God wants me to have because I've lost my focus. I've lost where I should be looking. You see, joy is about focus. It is about where we focus our desires and our thoughts. Colossians 3, 1-4, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is your life appears, Christ who is your life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This first verse, this first word that's translated set, means to keep seeking or to crave. It's about where our desire is. We have to set our hearts on things above. We have to set our desire on things above. Our main desire has to be Christ. Our main goal has to be, our main vision has to be remain on an eternal home. Interesting enough, the second word here, translated set, is actually a different Greek word. It means to have an understanding of or to direct one's mind to. We are to focus our thoughts on what God has done and is doing in our lives. We should be thinking about things beyond this earth, including our eternal home, and not just dwelling on the things around us. We have to intentionally and regularly refocus our hearts and minds again and again and again throughout our day if we want to experience that joy that God wants us to have. To keep this world from stealing our joy, we need to refocus our hearts and make sure that our number one desire is to live eternally with God. We also need to decide daily to keep our minds focused on what God is doing and how He provides, and not on what the world is giving us. To keep the world from stealing our joy, we need to examine daily where our hearts and minds are. We obviously are going to deal with all kinds of problems, all kinds of issues, and we are not always going to feel joyful when we are in pain, dealing with tragedy and loss, or experiencing those problems. The consequences of living on a sinful earth are very real and can be difficult. But if we keep our hearts and mind focused where they should be, focused on God, focused on our eternal home, we can keep that joy from leaking out. And that'll stop us from feeling so empty when we are dealing with those things that get us down. The second leak is anxiety. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. This word for peace is translated by BlueLetterBible.com as the tranquil state of the soul, assured of its salvation through Christ. A tranquil state is the state of being calm, peaceful, and entirely free from disturbance, noise, or mental stress. It is the ability, and I like this part here of the definition, it is the ability to say that everything will be okay. I like that definition. Things might not be okay now, but because of my hope in Christ, I know they will be down the road. Things are going to be okay in our future. The problem for me, and probably many of you, is anxiety. It robs me of that peace. Stress and anxiety are natural reactions to the problems we face. They themselves are not the problem. They actually help us prepare for emergencies and deal with the problems that we have in life. They can give us focus. They can give us energy when we actually need them. The problem is, I tend to dwell on them. I tend to dwell on my issues. I think about those problems way too much. My mind stays on them way past the point of being healthy. And that is what leads to the robbing of peace in my life. You see, a good perspective is key to dealing with anxiety. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42 says this. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. But Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." One of the problems for those who struggle, for those of us who struggle with anxiety, is that we worry about many, many things. My mind races from possible problem to possible problem, possible consequence to possible consequence. And then when a problem does occur, I become obsessed with it. I find myself thinking about it all the time. What are the possible consequences? What could I possibly do to fix this problem? Many people with mental health problems have this issue. A healthy perspective is gone when our minds become controlled by things that aren't productive, that are leading to worry and negativity and robbing us of our peace. Now when I start to worry about many things, I think about Jesus' words to Martha, but I replace it with my name. Ron, Ron, the Lord is saying. You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. You see, most of the things I worry about, most of the things I get stressed about won't matter a few weeks or a few months from now. They'll be gone and in my past. And ultimately, even if they do last, there's only one thing that matters, and that's my relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, Martha was focused on tasks. Mary was focused on Jesus. That's where I am lacking. That's why the peace is not there. Because I am task-oriented instead of Jesus-oriented. I need to refocus my attention. Yes, those things have to be dealt with. Yes, preparations have to be made. Yes, problems have to be dealt with or solved. Yes, there are those things that are going to need our attention. But they should not become my obsession. My goal should be to be obsessed with Jesus, to stay at His feet, to stay in His presence, to no matter what's going on in my world, Jesus is there with me, going through it with me. A good approach is also needed, not just a good perspective, and I'm going to go through this really carefully. I've spoken in churches about mental health, and that's where this comes from, and I'm not going to spend time, but I want you to pay attention to this three-pronged approach to dealing with anxiety. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I found it interesting that was read for us at the beginning of the service, because I knew it was in there, but no one else did. I didn't even hand my PowerPoint in until today. The first approach to dealing with anxiety and stress is be prayerful. The second thing is to be thankful. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the third thing is to be mindful. Finally, brothers, this is what's said right after those verses. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Be prayerful, be thankful, be mindful. Take your problems to God. He knows about them already. Leave them in His hands. Be thankful for what God has done in your life already, and thankful for the hope of eternal life He's already given us. And then we got to practice being mindful, to get our minds off those negative thoughts, get our minds off the things that are causing us stress and anxiety, and putting them on the things that are good, the things that are right. The key word here is called neuroplasticity. I love using science words. This refers to your brain's ability to restructure or rewire itself when it recognizes the need for adaptation. In other words, the brain can continue developing and changing throughout life. Studies have shown that you can rewire your brain by actively thinking positive thoughts and focusing your attention on good things in your life. No wonder Paul says to think on the positive, to think on the good things. It's like a toboggan hill. If a new snow has come down and there are 12 inches of snow, 30 centimeters, who don't like Imperial, 30 centimeters, 12 inches. When you go down the first time down that hill, it is slow. It's hard work. That doesn't work very well the first time. But if you go down that same spot over and over and over again, it gets faster and faster and faster. And then if you try to go right beside that trail, you try to go right beside it, it'll go right back into that same trail you've already created. Right? That's the way our brains work. If you tend to think negatively, you are training your brain to think negatively. But if you turn that around and start trying to think positively, then you will train your brain to think more positively. A lot of people don't realize, and I talk to students about this, when they're on anxiety meds, and a lot of students are, the purpose of those meds is not to solve your problems. The purpose of those meds is to get control of your thinking again, so that you can go ahead and solve your problems. To try to train your brain again, to think positively, to have a better view of yourself, to realize that these little things aren't big things. To take action, to eat properly, to sleep properly, to exercise. The drugs are important. I'm not saying that those things aren't important. A lot of us need them. But their job is to allow us to control our thoughts. And you say, well, I can't. I believe the Bible says you can. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I was talking to a friend of mine, a doctor friend, and every time I'm going to speak about anything about mental health, I talk to her, and I was talking to her about neuroplasticity last Sunday. And she said, you've got to bring up 2 Corinthians 10:5. Because the Bible tells us to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Do you think God wants you thinking negatively about yourself? Do you think God wants you dwelling on the negative, dwelling on your problems? Or do you think He wants you to think about Him? Think about His presence. Think about His power. Think about His promises. Think about the home that God has provided for us through Christ. The Greek word for captive means to bring under control and lead it away. That's what we're supposed to do with those negative thoughts. Bring them under control and lead them away to Jesus and leave them with Him. I need to plug that leak of peace by taking control of the way I think. Leak number three is a lack of trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the last leak that I need to plug up. Though I know in my head I can trust God, and I believe He's with me all the time, and I know He's provided a place for me for eternity, and I know He's got a plan, I seem to always want to take back control. I always want to try to fix those things myself. I always want God to do what I want Him to do, instead of saying, God, you do what you need to do. And that's robbing me of the joy and peace that God wants me to have, because I don't trust in Him with everything that I have here on earth. This song by Lauren Daigle, I love this song. It's not the greatest music, to be honest, but I came across this a while ago, earlier this year, and I put it on my playlist. It's one of the first songs I listen to when I listen to my Christian playlist. It says, when you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. My family this past year has been going through a lot of stuff. A lot of negative stuff. It's been a tough year. And I find myself on my knees, praying every morning for God to take it away, to fix those problems. But I have to trust in Him. God is simply asking me to let it go. Let Him have control. Give it up to Him. I need to be prayerful. I need to be thankful. And I need to be mindful. I need to allow Him to do what He is doing. The reality is that God doesn't do all the things I want Him to do. And things don't always turn out the way I want them to. Yet I need to learn to trust in God's ultimate plan, which is focused on eternity and not my current circumstances. The effects of sin in our world will cause pain, suffering, and death, like I've already said. That's the spiritual reality of sin. But I can focus my mind and my heart on the hope that I have in Jesus. I need to lift my eyes off this world and remember that I will live eternally with God. And one day He will wipe away every tear. He will take away all that pain. It'll be over. And I will be eternally with You, praising and worshiping our God, our Savior. I need to trust so that I may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the last thing I want to point out. We serve a God of hope, but we do spring leaks. God created us the way we are, and He knows our need. So He didn't leave us alone. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't expect us to plug the leaks on our own. He doesn't expect us to have some sort of great self-help class in church and go home and everything's better. But I think a lot of us are robbing ourselves of the power that God wants to give us because we're not listening to or we're ignoring the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised us. In John 14, 15, 17, it says, "If you love Me, keep My commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." You see, I know that all of us know that the power of the Holy Spirit is in us. We know that God has placed that Spirit in us, but unfortunately we ignore Him or forget to ask His help when we're trying to plug up the leaks. He has given this power to help us in our time of need so we truly can overflow with hope and be filled with joy and peace. Now, I haven't figured this all out. And actually, I'm going to be honest. I've been working hard on this for the last month. Because, like I said, we've been going through difficult times, and I haven't felt that peace and joy that I see on my phone every single morning. So I started studying, and I started applying. As a teacher, you learn it first, and then you teach it. But unfortunately for me, I haven't got it all figured out, that my problems aren't all gone, and I don't always feel the peace and joy, though I think I'm making progress. And I thought, God, why and how can I possibly stand in front of people and tell them how to plug their leaks when I can't even be totally successful myself? And I came across a story in my study, and I thought, that's why. That's how. You see, in a jungle village a long time ago, there was a young man that was looking for purpose and happiness in his life. And he went to the local wise man, who was old and well beyond his years, but well respected for his wisdom. And the young man asked him to find purpose and meaning in his life. The old man said he would, but only if he promised to take this bucket and fill the well for the next 2 weeks every day. He had to go to the river, get some water, and then fill the well up. But the man said to him, "By the way, the bucket leaks." The man did it for 2 weeks. The young man went back and forth, back and forth, and by the end of the 2 weeks, the well was still less than half full. Going back to the old man, he said, "I failed. I could not get that well full." He said, "You haven't failed at all. Turn around and look at the path you've walked." And the man turned around and he saw that the path he'd walked every day, that used to be just beaten down dirt, was now full of grass and flowers that had started to spring up. And he realized that there was purpose to his leaky bucket. And I realized there's purpose in my leaky life. as long as we are trying our best to serve God with what we've got. We all have our leaks, but God is going to use them to do His work as long as I surrender this bucket to Him. And He will use you to do His work too, despite the leaks that you have. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You so much that You use us as leaky buckets to make a difference in the people's lives around us. Thank You, Lord, for giving us the hope and peace and joy through Jesus Christ. Help us to keep our eyes on You and Your purposes so that we can live daily with the peace and joy that You want us to have because of that hope we have in You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.